Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match. Happy game day, Packers fans. So the question all week has been, is it a trap game? Or will the Packers easily take care of business in Jacksonville? Either way, we're about to find out, and it should be a highly entertaining matchup. But since it's game day, we're going to get our Prize Picks selections in for the week. And of course, you can download the Prize Picks app and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. So without further ado, here are my picks for this game. All right, we're going to start with the first one. Jordan Love, who is a two-touchdown passing machine. He seemingly throws for two touchdowns every single game. I'm going to continue that streak here. Jordan Love, more than 1.5 passing touchdowns. As we just mentioned, seemingly every single time he starts, he gets at least two of them. And I love the Packers receivers matchups against this Jacksonville secondary. Now, I don't know, which is why I'm not going any Packers receivers on this one. I don't know if it's going to be Reed or Wicks or Dobbs or Kraft or anyone else. I don't know which one it's going to be, but I have a strong feeling that Jordan Love is still going to find a way to throw two touchdowns, at least in this game against Jacksonville. Number two, Emmanuel Wilson, fewer than 25.5 rushing yards. I went back and forth on this one, and I do think there's a chance that Emmanuel Wilson could get a little bit more run in this game, but I think Green Bay is really going to want to feature Josh Jacobs in this one. And with all the mismatches in the secondary, I could see Matt LaFleur getting a little bit pass happy, and any remaining carries that are able to get done in this game go to Josh Jacobs. So I think you could see Emmanuel Wilson get fewer carries than maybe he has been getting, which would lead to that fewer than 25.5 rushing yards. So that's my second one. My third one, going on the Jacksonville side of things, is Evan Ingram, more than 1.5 rushing and receiving touchdowns. Now, we talked to Kendra Middleton about this the other day. Evan Ingram was one of her players to watch in this one. This was her favorite of like, hey, if you're looking for an anytime touchdown scorer, maybe go with Evan Ingram. So I'm going with Evan Ingram, more than 1.5 rushing and receiving touchdowns. I really like this one. I think Green Bay struggles with tight ends. I think Green Bay is getting a little bit more, I don't want to say blitz happy, but they're getting a little bit more aggressive. And when you get aggressive and pressured, sometimes a quarterback's best friend in those situations is the tight end. And I could see Evan Ingram being targeted early and often, especially in the red zone. So Evan Ingram, I think, is going to get some of those advantageous red zone matchups. And I think Trevor Lawrence is going to look his way first. And with that being the case, I really like the opportunity for Evan Ingram to go more than 1.5 rushing plus receiving touchdowns in this game. Don't see it on the rushing side, but certainly on the receiving side. Then finally, last but not least, one of my players to watch in this game has been Christian Kirk. Now, Christian Kirk is going to be the go-to target for Trevor Lawrence on some of those big third down situations. When it's a gotta-have-it first down opportunity, you need to get the first down and move the chains, Trevor Lawrence is going to look to Christian Kirk. And I'm not sure who Green Bay is going to match him up with in the slot. We've seen a lot of Javon Bullard there. We've seen some Keyshawn Nixon. They could mix and match a little bit. But Christian Kirk, either way, even if it's Nixon or if it's Bullard, that's a matchup that Kirk can win either way. And with Trevor Lawrence looking his way, especially in those big key moments, I expect Christian Kirk to have a lot of those opportunities. And for that reason, 5.5 receiving targets seems a easy number to clear. So that's where I'm going in this one. So just to recap, Jordan Love, more than 1.5 passing touchdowns. Emmanuel Wilson, less than 25.5 rushing yards. Evan Ingram, more than 1.5 rushing plus receiving touchdowns. And Christian Kirk, more than 5.5 receiving targets. As always, there are a ton of amazing options out there for this game and every other game, so there's no reason to not get in on the action. And as mentioned, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game.
Minutes a day. 365 days a year. This is the Packaday Podcast.
Happy game day, Packers fans. Welcome into an all new episode of the Packaday Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. And of course, thank you for being here and making Packaday part of your daily routine. We appreciate that a ton. It is game day. As you can tell, I'm kind of jazzed up for this one. I know it's not the sexiest matchup in the world. I know Packers Jacksonville has a little bit of this, it's a nervous game, right? Because you're supposed to win. You're supposed to go down there and just take care of business. But I think Jacksonville is maybe a slightly better team than they get credit for. I think this is going to be a challenge. And you know what? We only get so many of these every single year. So yeah, I'm going to be geeked out every single time the Packers play, no matter what. Don't care who they're playing. Don't care the nervous energy around. We are going to see a fun game. The Packers play football, and that's all I want. So I'm excited for it. Hopefully you guys are too. Now, before we get started, I have an unbelievable list of brand new Packaday Podcast YouTube members. So thank you so much for that. Just really quick, Zizolt Banvai, Shrimpus, Brandon Strimkowski, Izzy Roberts, Giuliano Niehaus, Dutra, Benjamin Lamers, Josh Sims, Luke Chevalier, The Gable Storm, Derek Speck, Aiden Yang, Dan Longo, Nodak Mike, Alec Gromaki, Jesse Cardanas, Jason Bravo, CL Freeman, Ali Abbasi, Krista Reynolds, Ben P, Ian Hurley, Darius Hill, and B Hobbs. Thank you so much. We are over 500 members. We are on our way to 1,000. You guys are the absolute best. Don't even know what to say. It is absolutely awesome, all the support, and I cannot thank you guys all enough. If you haven't checked out those YouTube memberships yet, make sure to do so. As you can tell, people are absolutely loving them. A ton of bonus content, episodes from Ross Uglum, me and Aaron Nagler, extra Q&As. Trust me, it is all very much worth it. Also, love to tell you about the Autograph app. I've been telling you guys about it, but if you haven't downloaded it yet, you are missing out. It is the best place to check out the Packaday podcast. If you're listening and you're an audio listener, go there every single day because you get to listen to it there and you get bonus points for listening to it there. So make sure to check that out. Plus, it's your one-stop shop for all things Packers. And I put out bonus videos over there as well. So it is all very much worth it. You can use code Packaday when signing up. It's free. Don't need to do anything other than download the app, use that code, and get started right away and make it your one-stop shop for all things Green Bay Packers. Now, we also have our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this one. And I'm going with Josh Jacobs. I so want this to be a Josh Jacobs game. I really, really do. I talked about it with Aaron Nagler earlier this week in saying, think back when Green Bay played the Raiders and they had to go against Josh Jacobs. And you were just so fearful of having to go against him and being like, oh my God, this is going to be a nightmare. The run defense versus Josh Jacobs. I don't want anything to do with that. I want teams to feel that fear again. And I think Josh Jacobs has been really good, by the way. This is not a commentary on Josh Jacobs. I think he's delivered on everything that you've expected out of him. I need this run game to be a little bit better. Specifically, the run blocking is what I'm talking about here. And I kind of need Matt to stick with it just a little bit more. Now, I'm not saying bang your head against the wall. If it's not working, it's not working. And I know in this game, you have some extremely advantageous matchups that we'll talk about just in a moment here with the secondary. I still would love to see a staple of this team be getting Josh Jacobs involved early and often with successful runs. And that starts with the run blocking up front. So I'm very much looking and hoping for a improved Packers run game. So I'm going to be watching Josh Jacobs as our Luigi's Pizza player to watch in this one. And of course, if and when Green Bay gets that victory over Jacksonville, it will be a Luigi's Victory Monday. Make sure to use that hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday over on Twitter. And by doing so, as long as you follow Luigi's Pizza, L-U-I-G-E-S-P-I-Z-Z-A on Twitter, you will be entered to win a case of free frozen pizza. Speaking of which, ZBone13 on Twitter is our winner for this past week. So congratulations, ZBone13. We will get that case of frozen pizzas sent over to you. Should be super excited about that because they are amazing and delicious. And I don't know what I would do in my life if I did not have Luigi's. All right, let's get to this game. Injury report first. So Corey Ballantyne is doubtful for Green Bay. This is mostly not noteworthy, right? Carrington Ballantyne is their their slot dime corner. So he is in there probably 2 to 5 snaps per game on average. It's not anything super noteworthy. They have options of what they could put in there. They could put Bullard and Nixon in the slot with either Stokes or Ballantyne on one side and Jair on the other with Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety. So they still have plenty of options. We have seen a little bit in the past of Carrington Ballantyne in the slot. They could do that with Stokes on the outside and then Jair on the other side. There's a variety of different things they could do, but they definitely have options for how they want to go about playing that dime. And again, we're talking about 2-3 snaps a game, probably. The special teams is the big thing. Corey Ballantyne is the other returner right next to Keyshawn Nixon. He hasn't really received one, but he certainly is a part of the blocking scheme with that. And then, of course, he's a core special teamer all throughout the game. So that's a little bit of a loss, but you're probably going to pull up somebody like Robert Rochelle, who just so also happens to be a core special teamer. So not a massive loss there, but that one will be at least semi-noteworthy. And then your three questionable players, Josh Myers, Quay Walker, and Devontae Wyatt. It'll be interesting, right? Myers, I think, is probably going to go. He practiced at the end of the week. And I'm not super concerned about it at this point, but if he were inactive, I think we would see Elton kick into center and then Sean Ryan at left guard and Jordan Morgan at right guard. And you still feel really good about that. Now, the depth would certainly take a hit. That would be what you'd be maybe a little bit more concerned about. But overall, I think you still feel good about your starting lineup. Quay Walker being out, the signal caller at linebacker being out is always a bit of an issue, but we saw it survive last week with Eric Wilson taking that spot, taking that mantle and really just owning it and kind of dominating it, to be honest. And now they would have a whole week to prepare for that if, in fact, Quay Walker is not cleared by the concussion protocol prior to the game. So I still kind of expect him to get there, but the concussion protocol can be a little bit tricky. If he's not, Green Bay will have a plan. They certainly have the depth at linebacker to manage it. It's not like Quay's exactly been tearing it up so far this year. You still want him to play. You still want him to be available, and hopefully he is. But if he's not, I think Green Bay can weather that a little bit. And then Devontae Wyatt has said this week that he's going to be good to go. You never can quite trust players, but they've navigated the past few weeks without Devontae. If he is active, I would expect him maybe to be on a little bit of a snap count, kind of getting him back ingrained in things. But getting any Devontae Wyatt in this game would certainly be a bonus and help that pass rush on the interior of the defense. So those would be three to kind of keep an eye on as we get that inactive report. From a Jacksonville standpoint, Travis Etienne, Foye Oluyakan, Ezesi Otemwu, Cam Robinson, Mason Smith, and Andrew Wingard are all questionable. From an inactive standpoint, really, Jacksonville is probably the one to watch, and Cam Robinson and Travis Etienne will be the two. I kind of expect Etienne to play. Cam Robinson will be really the one to see if he's active or not. That would be a big loss along Jacksonville's offensive line. They do have Walker Little, who's a solid replacement, but you still lose something by not having Cam Robinson out there. And then, of course, as we just talked about, Quay Walker and Josh Myers, probably the two to really watch from an inactive standpoint on Sunday. All right, what I'm going to be watching for in this game as we get to our deep dive preview of Packers and Jaguars for Sunday. I've talked about this a little bit on Packaday Radio and kind of throughout the week, but I still want to go over it now. There is no world to me in which this Jacksonville secondary can match up with Green Bay's plethora of weapons at wide receiver and tight end. I just don't see it. And I expect to see a ton of zone from Jacksonville, but there are areas that you can attack consistently. And Matt LaFleur will go after players aggressively. I know that Matt this week said that Darnell Savage is what, an elite player, something to that extent, and like was really, you know, fluffing him up. They are going to attack him. I guarantee you they are going to go after Darnell Savage in the secondary. They are like, Matt's going to watch the tape and be like, yep, we're going there early and often. Antonio Johnson is another one that they can attack. As we talked with Kendra Middleton yesterday, Andre Sisco has not been having that same season that he had a year ago. And then Ronald Darby is still somebody that you also feel comfortable going after. Matt LaFleur is just going to look at this and have Jordan Love be ready to have his weapons be open down the field. And it should be a game where Green Bay does not have trouble throwing the football. Now, I have been along or around long enough to see where you get one of these mismatches and you're going into the game expecting it just to be a, you know, just knockout punch of like, you're not going to be able to stop this. And what is Jacksonville going to do all week? They are going to game plan all week to figure out ways around the fact that they really can't cover these Green Bay wide receivers. And again, I think they're going to play a ton of zone defense, but Matt will be ready for that. He will have zone beaters drawn up and dialed up all game long. And that really makes it so that there should be opportunities, both I think short, intermediate, and deep. I think they can attack all three layers of the field. And I think they're going to have mismatches all over the place. Maybe stay away from Tyson Campbell a little bit. He's definitely the best of Jacksonville's secondary. But even that, if you get an advantageous matchup there, I'm certainly not afraid of going after Campbell either. And if you do get some matchups where it's like Christian Watson on Campbell one-on-one or even Romeo Doubs, whoever it might be, Dontavian Wicks, like there may be a situation in which Jacksonville may feel like they have to leave Campbell on an island to kind of cover up for everything else. And I still don't mind that matchup one-on-one with Campbell either. So there should be options for Jordan. But if you really want to hit on those, you know, intermediate and deep throws, what do you have to have? You have to have time in the pocket or Jordan have the ability to buy time to make those throws down the field. And that's where matchup number two is going to be so insanely important. And that is Rashid Walker and Zach Tom versus Trayvon Walker and Josh Hines-Allen. Now, this is a very similar conversation as that we had last week against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, talking about how Walker and Tom were going to have to hold up against those two. And for the most part, they did. We saw Anderson and Hunter make an impact on a couple different plays, and that's going to happen. Like if Hines-Allen or Trayvon Walker get a couple plays in this game, All right, they're really good players, and you can kind of understand how that would happen. But if Zach Tom and Rashid Walker can do the usual Zach Tom and Rashid Walker thing and be really good in pass pro, not need a ton of help, maybe a chip here or there, and just kind of shut those two guys down, now you're just in no man's land if you're Jacksonville. You don't have the ability to, you're going to have to bring extra players to get after the quarterback. And this is a very similar situation we saw against Arizona, right? When Arizona started rushing with four, they could not get home at all. They had no opportunity to get to the quarterback, and Jordan just had all day to throw, and Arizona's secondary wasn't good enough to match up with Green Bay's weapons, and you just end up in nightmare town. And all of a sudden, then what happens? Then you have to bring pressure. Now you're bringing pressure, and Green Bay's just keeping extra guys in, and guys are still getting open down the field, and now Jordan's being able to attack in a different way. It's almost like a, darned if you do, darned if you don't. There's a no-win situation. But Green Bay has to start by blocking up those four guys when they come with a four-man rush. Because, if your secondary is bad, but you can cover with seven back there and play a lot of zone coverage and get there with four, that's still a recipe for success for any defense in the NFL. So if Hines, Allen, and Walker specifically are creating chaos and they can put seven guys in zone defense on the backside, that's still advantage Jacksonville. So yes, it's a huge mismatch, I think, for Green Bay's playmakers against this Jacksonville secondary. I don't think they're a great tackling secondary either. That, again, goes to Darnell Savage and Antonio Johnson specifically. But if they don't have time and they can play a lot of zone and they can rally to the football, Jacksonville can still have a puncher's chance in this one. So that's why that matchup, especially with Hines Allen and even more so with Trayvon Walker, is going to be massively important in this game. Number three, the middle of the field for Jacksonville's offense. Specifically, what I'm talking about here is Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram. Those two, to me, have the ability to beat Green Bay right up the seams in the middle, and just obviously with Christian Kirk on some of those option routes. I'm very curious to see how Green Bay plays this in a nickel defense, because we have seen a ton of success with Cooper and Quay at linebacker, assuming Quay plays in this one, with Javon Bullard in the slot, Keyshawn Nixon and Jair on the outside, and then Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety. That's been sort of their go-to and what has worked the best when they go to nickel. However, while I think Javon Bullard has shown the ability to play that nickel spot, and I know it wasn't something I was a massive fan in going into the year, but I'm happy to say that looks like I was wrong. It looks like he can play there. I will say maybe not full-time, maybe not all the time, maybe not certain matchups, but he's looked good there so far when given the opportunity. That's been awesome. I still wonder if in these situations where you get a dynamic slot player like Christian Kirk, if Javon Bullard is the right player to have in that situation. And he might be. Maybe he just continues to prove like it doesn't matter if you're a shifty wide receiver, big wide receiver, tight end, running back. It doesn't matter. Javon Bullard's going to be good enough to play in that spot. That'd be awesome. I would love to see that. Or Christian Kirk, especially if you get in any sort of man coverage scenarios, might just be able to beat Javon Bullard, and you might need to switch it up and maybe play Keyshawn Nixon more in that natural slot role. And then you might have to go to an Eric Stokes or a Carrington Valentine on the side opposite Jair, which then would limit Javon Bullard's potential ability in this game to just get on the field, because I still expect Evan Williams to kind of be that primary safety next to Xavier McKinney. And it's a bummer because you really want Javon Bullard on the field because he's that darn good. So that is the big sort of, Rubik's Cube sort of situation of these moving pieces that you got to figure out. I think Green Bay probably starts with Bullard in the slot and Nixon and Jair on the outside and see like, hey, can we make it work with this? And then I think they adjust if need be of saying like, all right, the slot situation with Kirk isn't working. We've got to try something different. I also wouldn't hate, by the way, and I know that Green Bay hasn't really done this, especially this year, but I still would love it if you get into a 3rd-and-9 must have it situation and they're probably looking Christian Kirk's way, like put Jair in the slot, roll that safety over the top of Brian Thomas Jr. so he doesn't get those big explosives on the outside, make Gabe Davis beat you against, whether it's Eric Stokes or Carrington Valentine or Keyshawn Nixon, whoever it is, like make that be the matchup that they have to go to. Keep an extra eye on Evan Ingram, Jair versus Christian Kirk, where they love to go on third downs in those obvious must-have situations. Keep the safety over the top on Brian Thomas Jr. and make what I consider their number three wide receiver be the guy that has to win on the outside. That's something I would not hate seeing in this game. But whatever the mix and match and chemistry is of this defense and the ultimate makeup of it, they got to make sure that there's a way that Evan Ingram at that tight end spot and sometimes a lineup in the slot and Christian Kirk in the slot does not beat Green Bay consistently and come up with those big, plays on those key third downs specifically. And then another matchup that I'm going to be watching is one that we just kind of touched on here is Brian Thomas Jr., not versus the corner that he's going against. I don't care about that as much. I'm talking about the safety over the top. This is a game where I think this is a really fun cat and mouse game between Brian Thomas Jr. and this Jaguars offense and Xavier McKinney and maybe a little Evan Williams and this Packers defense. Because let's just take Xavier McKinney for a second, right? If he's playing that post safety role and he has the ability to range over the top on Brian Thomas Jr., he has been an absolute eraser. He is a black hole that every single thing that goes on in that area, he is just sucking up. It's basically akin to like, hey, Xavier McKinney, here's the football. Would you like it? That's what it's about. Like he just, anything that's going in his area, he's finding a way to take it away. So the last couple of weeks, what teams have done is they're just like, well, no, we don't want that smoke. We're going to stay away from Xavier McKinney. We're not even going to throw in his direction. The issue is that Brian Thomas Jr. and his explosive playmaking ability is a massive piece of this Jacksonville offense. So they kind of need to take some of those chances. So the question becomes, and the sort of pick your poison for Jacksonville is, do we throw deep down the field and put it in harm's way with Xavier McKinney, knowing that that could lead to some turnovers? But we have to get Brian Thomas involved deep down the field, even just to kind of keep Green Bay's defense a little bit more honest. Or do we just not throw that way and not throw deep to him? But that's going to be a huge piece of our offense that's just kind of taken out of this game entirely. That's going to be an interesting one. And then for the Packers, sort of on the same wavelength. Now, I think Evan Williams can play absolutely fine in that post safety role if you want him to do that. But, you know, Xavier McKinney's obviously the guy that is really, really good at it. But Xavier McKinney is also so dynamic near the line of scrimmage. We saw him as a blitzer last week. That's the cat and mouse there of like, we would love to use Xavier McKinney all over the place, but then maybe you risk giving up that explosive to Brian Thomas Jr. when Xavier McKinney's not the deep guy. That could be something that they have to weigh out a little bit. So for Green Bay, do you want to keep McKinney as the post safety in this game, primarily, maybe 90, 95% of the time, and lose out on some of the stuff near the line of scrimmage and have to focus a little bit more maybe on Evan Williams and Javon Bullard playing closer to the line, which I think you can do, by the way. Or do you want to continue to use Xavier in the plethora of ways that you continue to use him and have Evan Williams probably specifically be more, you know, or have those opportunities to maybe be the deep safety and have to cut off some of those explosive plays to Brian Thomas Jr. So a cat and mouse game on both sides and one that I'm really intriguing to watch and see how both Jacksonville and Green Bay attacks those potential matchups. Number five, I don't like going obvious, all right? I mean, we could talk every week about how turnovers are important, about how quarterback play is important. You know, we can talk about, like, there are certain things we could talk about literally every single week, and it just does nobody any favors, right? We all know that, like, turnovers are going to play a factor. And if you lose the turnover battle, unless you lose 3-0 to the Texans, which should not be any way, shape, or form a victory, but you find a way to win, more often than not, turnovers are going to have a huge say in the game, right? So I don't like going over the obvious ones. This is one that's an obvious one, but we're going to talk about it anyway. And that's Trevor Lawrence. Yes, everyone's going to be watching the quarterbacks. I get it. Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love will have a huge say in how this game goes. But for Trevor Lawrence, he's such an interesting quarterback and just sort of how he has played, what the perception of him is. And I think everyone just kind of waiting is like, is this guy ever going to really break out in any sort of significant way? The last time he had a 3-touchdown game that didn't include him also throwing 3 interceptions was 2 years ago. You know, he's got, I think, 4 of his 7 games, if I remember correctly. I'm going to see if I can pull this up really quick, but I think it's 4 of his last 7 games where he has thrown under 200 yards on the season so far. So that is, yeah, so it's been 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, so 4 of the 7 games has been under 200 yards, a 162, a 178, a 169, and a 193. He's only had 1 game over 300 yards, which was 371 yards, which is a lot, but it's against the Colts defense, which isn't a real team. It's not a real defense, basically. We saw that with their run defense against Green Bay earlier in the year. Jacksonville beat him through the air. But they have not had consistent success through the air. 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions for him, which is definitely good. But like, you're still always kept wanting just a little bit more from Lawrence and this Jacksonville offense. Hopefully not this week, but in general. If he can get into a rhythm, like I like all of these players on Jacksonville's offense, from Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne in the backfield to Evan Engram at tight end, Christian Kirk, Brian Thomas Jr. at wide receiver. Like they have really interesting playmakers. I like the matchups overall. And it just feels like on paper, they should be this really fun, explosive offense. But it just hasn't been that. And I'm hoping that it stays that way, right? This week, like we don't need to see it this week. Like wait further down the year. You can do that later. You don't need to do it right now. But I think for Green Bay, you just have to make sure that Lawrence never gets comfortable. And that's been the MO in his career so far. Like that has been the book on Lawrence, is that he just never really kind of gets in that rhythm. Green Bay's got to make it so that that continues to be the case. And he doesn't, because we saw it in college. We even saw it somewhat earlier in his career, where if he does feel that confidence is starting to rip the ball and spread it around all around the field, he can definitely be dangerous. Like, we know how talented that he is. Just don't let him get into that zone, because if he gets in that zone, bad things can happen and you don't want bad things to happen. Number six, Christian Watson. It just feels like Green Bay's got to find a way to get him a little bit more involved in some way. Now, I don't think they need to force feed Christian Watson by any means. Do I think they could maybe give him a wide receiver screen, or like just an intermediate play over the middle to get him, you know, kind of going, or just something. And I would love to see maybe try to get him on a double move, or it just feels like there is so much talent there. He's an unbelievable player, and it just feels like you got to figure out a way to get this guy going. This offense will not take off at the peak of its potential unless you get that guy going to the level that he is capable of going at. And we haven't quite seen that. I don't think it's a negative thing. And I talked about on the radio show this past week, like one of my final takes of the day was stop worrying about the wide receivers and who's getting there. Like, there's going to be ebbs and flows to all of these guys. We're going to see times where it's Watson and Reed and, you know, Wicks and Dobbs. And like early in the season, it was Reed, and we saw Kraft get involved a lot. These last couple of weeks, it's been a lot of Romeo Dobbs. Like, we're going to see all different players step up at different times. But that Christian Watson breakout, I still feel like is coming, and we're going to see some big time Christian Watson games. I don't know if this is going to be one of them. I would like to see him be a little bit more involved, because I do think he's so dangerous with the ball in his hands. So let's see if we can get that big time weapon going this week, and he could certainly help Green Bay hopefully get some of those explosive plays and maybe make this a bit of an easier game against Jacksonville. Number seven, we talked about Josh Jacobs a little bit already with our Luigi's Pizza player to watch, but I want to see which running game gets going more consistently earlier. And I talked about this last week with Mixon and Jacobs as well, but sort of the same thing here with Tank Bigsby and Josh Jacobs. Now, it's not the most important aspect of this game, right? Because just like last week where Jacobs didn't get going till the second half and they never really got into that like 100-yard game territory, and Joe Mixon very much did, there's a lot of other things that are going on and a lot of moving parts. But I still in general feel like when you are able to be multiple and unpredictable and teams have to cover the run, the pass, and you're just balanced, man, does it make your life as a defensive coordinator and as a defense that much harder. There are two very talented running backs here in Bigsby and Josh Jacobs. And Bigsby's been on a tear. Jacobs, like I said earlier, has been everything as expected. Like, the run blocking needs to be better for Green Bay, like we talked about at the onset of this episode. And for Jacksonville, it has been a lot better as of late. So Green Bay, can their run defense step up a little bit, make sure that Bigsby doesn't get going? And can the run blocking for Green Bay step up to make sure that Josh Jacobs does get going? Number eight. Last week, my three lowest graded players on defense were Lucas Van Ness, Preston Smith, and Kingsley Enagbare. The three defensive ends not named Rashawn Gary. They have to be better. This entire defensive end group has to be better. Now, I do think Rashawn Gary has had back-to-back-to-back solid games. Good games, even. Nice game last week. Like, he has graded like almost plus 0.5 in each of those games, which if you do that over the course of the year, that's a really good season. I still think we can ask for a little bit more of an impact from Rashawn, but I'm very happy and pleased with the way he's played the last 3 weeks. So I'm going to stick on this one to LVN, Preston Smith, Kingsley, and Enagbare. We've seen some pretty big impact plays from Enagbare so far. Preston Smith did have that one sack towards the end of, man, what game was it? Was it the Rams game? I think it was maybe the Rams game where he got a big sack, half sack towards the end. But like overall, the impact has been incredibly minimal from LVN and Preston Smith, especially, and Enagbare has been more of like a flash play here or there. This was supposed to be one of the strengths of this team, was their depth at pass rusher and the different styles of players they have and the different waves that they can throw at you. Hasn't been that. Now, from a blitzing standpoint, when they're bringing exotic pressures and different looks, they've been able to get some wins all over the defense. I'm not talking specifically about the defensive ends. We saw Rashawn Gary doing some unique stuff last week, which got him some free rushes. Like, that's great. But these guys need to win their one-on-ones in the run game and in the passing game, and it just has to be better. Like, I am looking for a bigger impact from the defensive front. It starts at defensive end for me, and I really want to see those next three, LVN, Preston Smith, and Kingsley Enagbare, take a step in the right direction and start being a lot more impactful than they have been so far on this season. All right, Number 9, what chaotic random special teams event will we see this week? Will it be a blocked field goal, a blocked punt, a punt return for a touchdown, a kick return? Like, what is it? What are we getting? We're going to open Pandora's box. I don't know what it's going to be. The Jacksonville Jaguars had a punt return for a touchdown last week. You have to be aware of it. I don't know. We're probably going to get some chaotic random special teams event. Like, just, it's written in the stars. It's going to happen. We're going to figure out what it is. Can Green Bay somehow find a way to limit it? Or by the grace of all things Vince Lombardi, can you figure out a way to maybe have that chaotic good event be on your side of things? Can you be the one that's creating something chaotic and good and not the other way around? I don't know. Probably not. Like, we're probably going to expect something bad to happen throughout the course of the day from the special teams, but can they make it so that it's not that impactful? Can it be mostly forgettable? Probably not, but that's what I'm watching for. Number 9, what do we get? It's Pandora's box. We have no idea, but they're usually good for one, oh my God, pull your hair out moment every single game. So what does it come to in this one? And I would love if I was wrong and that did not come to fruition and it was just a mostly forgettable special teams game, but I am not holding my breath in any significant way. And then last but not least, number 10, can you limit the self-inflicted wounds? It comes down to this. Green Bay is the better team. They are pure, 100%, no questions about it, better than the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have more talent. They're better coached. They're the better team. They're just all the way around better. There's nothing that I can point to with Jacksonville that I'm like, yep, this is why they could possibly or should win this game. The best chance for Green Bay to lose this game is if Green Bay beats themselves. And you always have that, you know, whatever percentage of random opportunity that the other team just goes out and has an A-plus game and plays their best brand of football. If you told me that Jacksonville played their best game of football of the year, A-plus football, if Green Bay plays B-plus football, I still like Green Bay to win that game. B-plus Green Bay versus A-plus Jacksonville, I'll take B-plus Green Bay. It's going to take, in my opinion, Jacksonville having a good game and Green Bay saying like, nah, we don't want to win this one. We're going to keep shooting ourselves in the foot because that sounds like more fun. And if they do that, by all means, Jacksonville can take this game. Green Bay's got to make this a business trip, clean up the self-inflicted wounds, focus on taking care of the football, not making mistakes, and doing your 111th. You know, nobody on this team, there's not one player that I will talk about, not Josh Jacobs, who's our Luigi's Pizza player of the game, not any of the other players that we talked about. There's not one player in this game that needs to have a superhuman effort for Green Bay to win. Everyone just needs to go out and do their job and not make mistakes. And if they can do that, Green Bay wins this, I think, going away, like easily. So limit the self-inflicted wounds, the dumb penalties, the dropped punts, the interceptions that don't need to be thrown. Like, just make it that you are doing your job, taking care of the ball, not making mistakes. And Green Bay, like I said, wins this one running away. My final prediction, Packers 24, Jacksonville 20. The AI, by the way, has Green Bay winning this one. They're 7-0 on the year, going back to our AI episode midway through the offseason. So we'll see if the AI can stay undefeated this week and pick the Packers victory correctly. And if Green Bay can move to 6-2 as they get ready for Detroit next week. Reminder, I will be live for both pregame and postgame on the YouTube channel, 11 a.m. Central Time for the pregame show, pretty much as soon as the game is over on the postgame show. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews, interact with the channel any way that you can. That always helps. And of course, check out those Packaday podcast YouTube memberships as well. Enjoy game day, everyone. It should be absolutely awesome. Again, I'm going Packers 24, Jaguars 20. Green Bay gets the win and goes to 6-2. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Jay Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ataka, SoCal Pack, Dan Gasford, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Lovin' Football, and Puerto Rican Packer. Appreciate you guys a ton. I will see you guys all tomorrow for the postgame. Well, I'll see you hopefully live in the pre and postgame shows, but right here for our normal episode postgame with Perry and Grant. Stick around for that. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.